And we are live on Leadership Redefined. So welcome, Rich. How are you?
Great, great. Nice to see you.
We have
Thank you,
Deanna
Andrew.
Figueroa. I should have asked about the pronunciation, but was that pretty good, Deanna?
That's perfect. Thank you.
So I'd like to, you have your own coaching and consulting company, DFIG Connects. So I'll let you speak to that as well. But you may be the first coach, executive coach, or leadership coach, or whatever kind of coach you call yourself. You may be the first coach that we have on here, Rich. I'm not sure that we've had any coaches on here
I
that
don't
do
think
this for
so,
a living.
no.
So this is great. So it's new territory for us. It's a big piece of what we do from Leadership Redefined, helping coach, mentor leaders in the educational space. So we're really eager to hear your thoughts and philosophy on that as well. So, Deanna, why don't you do an intro for our audience, and then we'll get into some really great things that we were talking off air about. We'll talk about some of them on air.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I'm like really excited to be here. I started my business, DFIG Connects Coaching and Consulting, last year. When the pandemic hit, I had to leave my corporate job to move to Peru to be with my husband before the world shut down. And since then, I've gotten the training and launched my business. I coach leaders, executives, and people that are looking to make career changes, especially with a focus in women. And I have the philosophy that you can really define your own path, throw away the shoulds, and stop believing that everyone has it all together. Just do it.
That's awesome. I have I'm very much into fitness as well, Deanne. I didn't tell you this offline, but I remember way back when I was 15 or 16 years old, I subscribed to a magazine, Men's Health, and they've been around for a long time. And in Men's Health, they had a picture of this guy that was actually chiseling, hammer and chiseling his body out of a stone. And it said, "Shape your destiny" on the bottom of it, and that philosophy has stuck with me ever since. But I'd love to hear, and we talked a little bit about your philosophy online, offline. But could you just kind of speak to what you do as a coach, how you inspire folks, what your philosophy overall is, and specifically, I know you focus on empowering women. And unfortunately, we live in this patriarchal society. I have a daughter of my own. Rich, I know you have
Three.
three daughters. Yeah. So we all know, at least from that perspective, how women are treated. I grew up with women everywhere in my family, older, younger sister. So if you pay attention as a man, you realize the struggles and the challenges that specifically women go, and specifically for that empowerment piece. So I'd love to hear your thought on sort of your philosophy with coaching and I know outlook on life that we've heard a little bit about.
Sure. So it's twofold in terms of philosophy. So philosophy as a whole is that at DFIG Connects, we believe that everyone needs human connection to thrive, right? So we're all about actual human connection. So I'm always making sure that I'm connecting with someone else and able to connect them to each other. So that's first and foremost. The second is what I look for is working with clients on a matter of fulfillment, balance, and process. So we talk about and we work on life purpose, making sure that you're living life in congruent with your own values and not being overtaken by your self-sabotaging or limiting beliefs, which is what I work through a lot with clients, which are some of those shoulds and some of those conditioning that we grew up with as a man or a woman, right? And then second is balance and making sure that you're not stuck in a specific perspective, even like being able to look at things from someone else's point of view, and just really getting unstuck, which is the first thing I hear when I see clients most of the time, that they're stuck in a specific point of view. And the third is processing. So actually getting them to process unstuck emotions, things that are getting in their way. And then we move on to the consulting aspect of being able to help them with whatever it is logistically, like their career. And the second piece about empowering women, I'm an older end millennial, and when you look up at the C-suite, it's not full of women, and we don't have necessarily a voice there. So people that don't look like us don't necessarily know what we need, right, in the workplace, because our generation of like fathers and whatnot, they or rather the boomer generation, don't necessarily know what to anticipate that women need right now in the workforce. Like, for example, a lot of my friends are going through problems with or difficulty within pregnancy and leaving for mat leave and coming back out of it and being able to keep their promotion and keep their jobs. So really, like, women need a voice and they need to know that it's okay to speak up. And younger women especially need someone to look up to and to understand what's available to them and how they should go for it. I see women most of the time being a little hesitant to go for the things they want because of some conditioning. And I want to kind of break that barrier.
So how, and this goes for certain guys as well. The challenge is I think greater for women because of all that conditioning throughout their childhoods, throughout their teenage years into adulthood. So I'm one to say you have to be aware to be aware, right? You have to understand that you want to change. You have to understand that change is possible. So what could you say to our audience that would help women in particular, but people in general to, and I love the should, and I grew up with you should, and I never use the word should purposefully in my own life with my own children. So how do you sort of click that switch? And I know it's not an easy formula, but what's a strategy that you could say to leaders in general or people in general, even just starting out careers, to say, hey, this is possible. Look at it from a different angle. Try it, try seeing it from a different perspective. What are some strategies you can think of? And then Rich, I'd love to hear any questions you have as well.
So in answer to this one, I think name it. So people have really big saboteurs that they lead from. They lead from that saboteur and they speak from that saboteur instead of speaking from their intuition and the person that's inside. If you really ultimate, when I work with my clients, sure, I hold a vision for them, a large vision that we're going to then, I believe in them that we can achieve that together, but they make the decisions themselves and they lift themselves up. They just need a little push, right? Mm. And so you ultimately have the answers inside. So how can you give a voice to that actual leader within and stop listening to the self-sabotaging voices? So the first thing you do is name it. Like, name, what is that limiting belief and what's that risk by actually believing that limiting belief? So if you're leading from that saboteur, that limiting belief, what's that risk in your future? What's that risk in your life? How does it hurt your significant other? How does it hurt your job prospects? That's the first tool, name it. And then when we start to notice that voice that's making you small, and you start to just even give it a name, it starts to become less scary and it starts to become less powerful. So we're making it a little quieter.
That's great. Rich, thoughts, comments? You're muted, Rich.
I know, I was trying to remember to get it back off the mute. Yeah, that's all really interesting. It's all interesting processes you're talking about. The first thing I scribbled down as I was listening to your really all the major points that you were making, and they were coming off like a machine gun, so I'm sure I missed more than I caught, was self-discovery. Making a face, because I'm just trying to figure out, this is how I'm reading you, and we only know each other maybe 20 minutes. So forgive me if I'm misreading you. I apologize in advance if I am. I don't read you as a person who wants to tell people to stand up and be tall. I read you as a person who wants someone to realize that they have to stand up and be tall.
Yeah, yes, got it. So you say that you read me as someone that helps to empower someone instead of giving them the prescriptive directions of what to do.
The word I use, yeah, and you used the word too before. I use two words interchangeably, is empower. And the other word I use too, which is one of my favorite words, is catalyze. You know, yeah. I'm not a science teacher or anything, but catalyze sort of, just charges, brings things together to synthesize into something that they weren't to begin with, and charges them up with new kind of energy. And that's how I'm reading how you probably get people to respond to you.
Yeah, I work with energy. I work with energy. It is kind of hard, but it works. It works, though. That's the thing. It does work. And when you notice that you have a gift of energy, like this came from the decision of into going into one of my friends, when I'm around you, I feel like the only person in the world. I feel like the only person in the room. Mm. So I'm like, okay, this is, you have to notice that's a gift, right? So if I'm able to make people feel that way, and I do feel that way, it's genuine. Then how can I use that to actually empower them? And, you know, just holding space for people, actually holding that space open, gives them the permission to be curious, to lose the judgment, and then to get into creative spaces within their mind to then imagine what's possible from here.
There's a trusting aspect.
It's not a cookie cutter, though, right?
No, it's curated.
I'm sorry, it's not a cookie cutter. It's not take two tablespoons of this and a gulp of that, because you have to again, you know, read where people are in their own space and how they are along their own continuum. So it must take a lot of energy out of you unless you become energized by transferring energy over to them.
I do. Well, like you said, it's meeting people where they are. So being open to where they actually are and actually being empathetic toward them. But yeah, it does take a little bit of energy out of me when I do my one-on-one coaching. So I have to be mindful keeping my cup full, right? So mm-hmm. maybe do a little less one-on-one coaching the days that I'm doing a workshop, or when I know I have a lot of meetings, do it a little less. It does take a little bit of energy, but I am an extrovert. So I do get energy from giving energy to other people and kind of making an energy swirl.
Yeah, Rich and I have spoken a number
of times.
You and I have spoken a number of times after, you know, we teach a class. We've been teachers forever. And after we teach a class, how while it's stressful during teaching class and working with students at every level, afterwards you are energized, you are empowered, you are reinvigorated because you've just basically helped out, you know, whoever it is for whatever amount of time. And it does. It's weird because it takes away, but it also energizes you over the long run, and it drives you over the long run too. Rich, sorry, you were saying as well.
Well, I'm just interested in I don't want to presume that I could take a guess at this. So, Deanna, maybe what are the themes that you continuously hear? So let's go with women.
I hear consistently. I hear this out of men too. I felt like I should do this, but I would be annoying people, or I'm just so stuck. Typically, let's see, the biggest theme is outreach. Like, they don't want to annoy people and they don't want to ask for what they want because they think it's annoying. So you're talking about boundaries there, and people feeling empowered to set healthy boundaries that actually is a gift to the other person. They don't believe that. They think that it's them being rude or they're not being nice. They don't realize how nice it is to actually set your expectations with someone and then follow through with that. So boundaries is one. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be mean. Second is feeling really stuck in a job that they don't like, but scared to move because they're scared of the unknown. So that theme of being scared of the unknown and choosing the devil you know is something. So people get really stuck in being, they get comfortable in being unhappy. That becomes a theme. It becomes really familiar for them. So that's another theme as well.
I'm always amazed that people choose comfort over happiness time and time again. They avoid change because it's comfortable. And they sometimes stay like that for a very, very long time, if not forever, even if not for their whole lives.
Yeah, and it's neurological. It's the way that their neurons are firing in their brain to actually be so comfortable with that story, with that, you know, that this is how it's going to be. And when something comes along and, you know, we are resistant to change as humans. So when something comes along and disrupts that, it's about your comfort tolerance with discomfort.
Is it about their sense of self-efficacy?
I think sometimes. Yeah, I mean, definitely. That's where we'd work on inner critic work and saboteurs. And that's where I kind of give a light to being able to listen to what's really inside of you. I use a lot of embodiment and like really listening to your body, because we as humans are so conditioned to not pay attention to those things when you know your body is talking to you. Like your limbic brain is what really knows the good gut decisions, right? And but that's not the area that has language. The area that has language is your rational brain. So your brain is like working against you in terms of making the decisions. So when people can get in the creative space, they can really listen to their gut. And yeah, it's all about self-worth. It's all about self-worth. Everyone that I work with, whether or not they're going to get this job and what they believe that they deserve and what they believe they can do.
Yeah, I picked that up when you talked about the boundaries piece, especially.
So how does one like...
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rich, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm done.
So Deanna, how do you, and we're going to wrap up soon, and I feel like we could talk a lot longer about this subject. It's so interesting to me because there's so many aspects to it. It's about upbringing. It's about, as my dog chimes in the background, I apologize. It's about upbringing. It's about what your local, like individual upbringing is, about the time you grew up in, right? All these things kind of fold into your belief system, what you think is possible, what you think is not possible in a lot of ways. And it's so intriguing because there's psychology behind this, there's motivation behind this, there's sort of feeling at the energy of that person and understanding what it takes to sort of have them become self-realizing of what is possible without telling them what to do. So that I know it's such a fine art based on what my sister tells me, based on my own experiences, a bit what I'm hearing from you. So I'd love to hear from you just like how does somebody know or realize or come to you to begin with, because that's a step too, because that's knowing that they're going to step out of their comfort zone just to get or call somebody like you. They're stepping out of their comfort zone. So are you getting, I guess my question is twofold, do you get the people that really need it all the time because it's of that kind of threshold that they have to pass to get to you? Like, how do you navigate that piece of it when you know there are people that out there that you can help, but they can't even get past that, hey, make the call to DFIG Connects coaching because I know I need it. Like, how do you get that message out there that they could even go to you to begin with?
Yeah, I know. So coaching is becoming more and more popular as a profession and starting to get realized more and more. I don't know if you saw that Prince Harry, innovation officer of BetterUp, which is a Silicon Valley tech company that's actual coaches that companies, corporations can sign them on. And then their employees can have access to these coaches. Another company like that is Bravely. So it's getting more and more popular in the first place and less woo-woo, right? So now there's the ICF and there's the International Coaching Federation that you actually can get a license from that I have. There's more reputable companies. So that's one. So knowing that it exists. Two is people that come to me are at the point where they're totally stuck. When I probably got a lot of people that reached out to me New Year's. So at the beginning of the year, people were like, I have to do something about myself. They're like, it's like the diet, you know, it's like the, what am I going to do about this job? What am I going to do about this thing that I hate? Or this area that I'm stuck. So it's really feeling stuck, getting past that threshold. And then I also get the real self-growth people that really want to take a deep dive into their life to go in a specific area and make that better. And they want to do that with someone. The philosophy in which that I was trained with, which is coactive training, is that every person is naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. And if you look at people from that lens, you can look at the world in a totally different way. So being able to really believe in that person and hold them naturally creative, resourceful, and whole, you really can believe in them. And when someone really believes in you, you can accomplish anything.
So well stated. And I imagine you could go and get discouraged working with individuals that have these even like really great challenges to get past those hurdles of, hey, what this is possible kind of thing. And you just have this genuineness about you that you look like you really do. And I think you do believe in anything is possible with whoever you're working with. And I am sure that's viral in nature, right? That's like, that's really becomes something that will have this exponentially positive effect as you work with people because of that belief, right?
Yeah, you're talking about manifestation. You're talking about matching the frequency of your energy to other people's energy that then comes back to you. So like, if you know, that's physics essentially. So it does come back that way. It's about how you feel when you talk to someone. It's like when you get into your first meeting, you don't say a comment about how bad the weather is. You say like, how was your weekend? You know, you talk about the positives and literally get that back.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. So I'd love to have you back on, Deanna, and talk more about this topic. It's very interesting to me. And I think to Rich too, we study people and ourselves and empathy, understanding all that stuff. We're really, it's part of it, our everyday lives. But Rich, final thoughts, and then I'll let Deanna have the final thought after you.
You know, a couple of things occur to me. But one is, I'm saddened that so many people feel the way they must feel. And I know that's for a fact. And I'm just, it just saddens me. On the other side of the street, clearly, you know, I'm thrilled and pleased and grateful that there are folks like you who can find a way to help empower them to empower others, as we spoke about earlier today. So I agree with Al. I think that we need to hear more about what you spoke about. I'm very interested in what you said at the very end about matching frequencies. I don't remember where I read about this. It's quite a few years ago, but for a while I was very interested in that whole premise. And I can hear that you recognize that that's part of what you need to do to take these people to where they should be able to take themselves. That's, thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy to chat about that another time. The book I read recently is called Becoming Supernatural by Joe Dispenza. I would highly recommend that in terms of realizing the way that the brain works. And what you said reminded me of a podcast I listened to recently with Daniel Goleman, who wrote Emotional Intelligence. Yeah. And he talks about how he met the Dalai Lama, and the Dalai Lama couldn't believe that people in the Western cultures hate themselves. There's no word in our culture for self-compassion when that is so big in the Eastern cultures. Like, self-compassion is a given. No one hates themselves over there. I mean, well, that's in general, broad terms. But the point is that what would life be like if we gave ourselves more self-compassion, if we gave ourselves the permission to love ourselves and love others? Like, what is possible for you? So I think I'd actually like to leave with that thought. What is possible if you hold the people that you interact with as naturally creative, resourceful, and whole? And what's possible if you believe that anything could happen? So I really appreciate the work that you both are doing. I appreciate you having me on here. I'd love to connect with any of your listeners or watchers. If they are, if they're looking to make any changes, they can find me at my website, deepinconnect.com. And I'm just looking to kind of really empower people and let them know that they can forge their own path, and they shouldn't believe that everyone has it all together and should get rid of the shoulds and move forward. So thank you so much for having me today. It was really great meeting you.
Thank you, Deanna. It was wonderful. And I hope
thank you.
Folks take you up on that offer. All it takes is a quick connect and then conversations start happening. Right. So if you want to make that change, give Deanna a call at DFIG Connects or an email at DFIG Connects. You could actually put that information, look for that information in the post as well. You could share this out, Deanna, and put any information you want in there too. But I'll put it in our initial post as well. Thank you. I hope to have you on again soon. Really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks so much.
Thank you.